Hello, I'm Chris Lisher, and welcome to Turning of the Wheel, an intelligent, lively discussion on astrology, art, and adventure. Timing is everything, and as the great wheel turns, we are best prepared when we are best informed. Join me as I explore the current planetary alignments and offer insights for coping with change. Educational, informative, enlightening, the Turning of the Wheel is a welcome pause in your daily swirl of constant change. Through intelligent discourse, inspired guests, and educational segments, I will help to enlighten your knowledge of astrology and guide you to accept change as the great wheel of life turns. Call in with your questions and speak with some of the greatest visionaries in the time-tested practice of astrology. Turning of the Wheel, Astrology, Art, and Adventure with Chris Lisher, each Thursday, live, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, on Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Turning of the Wheel. It's a wonderful show we have today. We're going to be talking about Saturn and Venus, which are about to be conjunct, which means they're about to be lined up together. It doesn't happen very often that these two planets get together, and it's going to have an impact on anybody who has a mutable sign, that'd be Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, or Pisces. So it's going to be interesting. My guest is going to be on shortly, and so I've got that to report. Also, I've got some great shows lined up. I've just finished booking my calendar. I'm very proud of myself. Got my calendar booked all the way through, I think, December the 15th, I think, or the 12th, something like that. Got some amazing guests coming on. I encourage you to go look at it. If you go to the Contact Talk Radio website and click on my name, Chris Lisher, you'll see my calendar. I've got incredible line of guests coming up. I'm very honored and flattered to have such great, knowledgeable people coming on. We've got we're going to expand our view a little bit by bringing some artists on. We've got Alex Gray coming on. Alex Gray is very well known as a visual artist and probably one of the most profound artists in the world right now. So, very honored to have him on with his wife Allison. I'm encouraging you to call in at any time during the course of the show at 1-877-230-3062 to ask your questions about astrology. You can always get readings from me as well if you go to my website at www.chrisflisher.com. Both of those numbers are listed on my website, on the Contact Talk Radio website. So hopefully that'll be a good thing for everyone to go check out. I do a regular astrology readings, professional astrology readings with a full report and a chart, and then we do a scheduled I also schedule a online, you know, a live phone call consultation with you as well if you're interested. So go to www.chrisflisher.com and you can hook up with me there. My email address is there. It's chris@chrisflisher.com. In the meantime, I know that everyone is a little bit nervous, perhaps, because Mercury just went retrograde. I want you to know that that is sometimes daunting. It always gets a bad rap in the world of astrology, largely because of the fact that it is, you know, one of those planets that seems to wreak havoc in people's communication realms. But it really isn't as bad as everybody thinks. It's there's much more. I don't think of anything much in astrology as really being bad other than a Pluto transit. And the biggest problem I would see with it is more just that it's a quest. It's a matter of sort of, reviewing things. As long as you can review things in the past, yeah, it's really what this time is all about. When it's all about communication, it's all about issues with communication. Personal interchange is the word I like to use. So if it comes down to talking with somebody else in your family or your lover or your spouse or your husband or anybody like that, that's typically what it is what it's all about. So I think that it's critical to be able to see that, and when the time comes for Mercury to go retrograde, the best thing to do is to sort of just review it as a time to review. That's exactly what the word would be. It would be to review. And so rather than mulling over the idea that things might be broken or whatever, you know, always look to it to be some sort of a method of sort of reevaluating, reviewing, redoing, refinancing. Anything that has the prefix re in the beginning of it is probably the best way to think of it, and not be too fearful of it. You know, if you're signing a contract now, people always say don't sign contracts during Mercury retrograde. Just review it. Review it twice before you sign it. There's no harm in signing it. Some of these things are unavoidable, and we have to take them when they come. You know, if you're buying a new car during Mercury retrograde, you know, just review the clauses that go with it. Make sure that the financing is sound. Make sure that you're not getting tacked on with some extra charges. And that's probably all you can do is see how that works. So I think the best thing to do is just review, renew, rejoin, reevaluate, all things like that seem to make the most sense. I want to let you know that next week we have Sharon Mullen will be on, and she's going to be talking about the transits for the 2008 going on. And transits, in case anyone doesn't know, is the current alignment of the planets as they are today. And what that indicates is that people and the planets have an impact on us as we go through the during the course of the day. And if they don't, if you don't know what those transits are, you can always find them by going to some of the better-known astrology sites that are out there. One I usually always use is www.astro.com. Astro.com is a great source of information, and it's put on by Astrodienst, and they are out of Switzerland, and they've got a wonderful, wonderful website. They tell you the current planets, where they are, the degrees. They've got a wonderful source of instant astrology readings there as well. So I encourage you to go on there and see what you can find. And, you know, as a result of that, the current transits are always going to be important to us as we go through, because that's what shows us where things are today. And everybody has a different impact with astrology. You know, astrology has, everyone's chart is different. It's like a fingerprint or a footprint. It's always different, and it's sort of your owner's manual. And so as you go through your life and you have different times in your life where things happen, you know, we've always hear about different things happening at different times. When those when those events happen and you feel the impact, is when you really begin to wonder where things are. And you go and look at your astrology chart, and you look at the current transits, and you'll see exactly what the story is. So I encourage you to call in, and 877-230-3062. You're listening to Turning of the Wheel, and my name is Chris Fisher. This is a show about astrology, art, and spiritual adventure. Now, the other day, someone's called in and asked me what was the art part and what was the spiritual adventure part. Well, I see them all as part of one big, huge continuum. I think art is the manifestation of the soul. It's sort of the soul speaking. And when the soul speaks, you can see it coming out through the your inner source and your inner spirit. So when that is evolving and coming out of your spirit as reaching deep into your core to get that, I see that as directly manifested in what I see as the astrology chart. You can see that sort of divine correlation there, and it's relevant, very relevant. So over the next few weeks, we're going to start bringing in some artists, as I mentioned earlier. I've got Alex Gray is coming on with his wife, Allison. Alex Gray is very well known. If you look up Alex Gray, G-R-E-Y, A-L-E-X-G-R-E-Y on the web, do a Google on his name, you'll be amazed at some of the stuff he's done. He's world-renowned. I went down to his gallery in New York City, I guess probably about a month ago, and just incredible, incredible amount of work that this man has done. He has certainly sees the correlation between the soul and the spirit. It is certainly, and the physical body. He's done an amazing job, enormous amount of detail, a lifelong path of trying to discover his purpose and using art and spirit and is as one in the same. So we're waiting for my guest to call, and while we are, we can talk about some of the topics. I'm happy to entertain anyone's questions about astrology and where things are today. You know, Mercury retrograde is always a great topic. You know, one of the things that Mercury in retrograde does bring to the light sometimes, depending upon which sign it is, it's currently in Scorpio, and it's going to be in Scorpio for probably till about the beginning of November. One of the things that's most relevant about that is that it's going to deal with, of course, with Scorpio. Scorpio is a sign of research. It's the sign that also deals with, all sorts of research. Of course, sex and death and all that other things come in when people talk about Scorpio. Very intense sign. So you might have some issues that you hear with regard to that over the course of the next couple of weeks, or those kind of topics may come up. Also, being in a fixed sign, any other sign that's in a fixed sign will feel the impact of Mercury as well. So if you've got any signs in Taurus or in Leo or in Aquarius, you're also going to feel the impact of that is there at the same time. So it's important to just be mindful of that. I mean, I certainly wouldn't go out and do anything drastic. It's just more a question of being mindful of the impact of what Mercury retrograde can do. So, be mindful of it. There's no harm there. Some of the other things that we can look at today that are happening in regard to the charts and the current transits are Mars has entered into Cancer. Now, Mars in Cancer is an interesting placement because it's sort of a very maternal place for Mars. And Mars is more of a fiery sort of a male-dominated sign, I would think. If it had to give it any energy at all, I would say it's male-oriented. And that's clearly the case. And so you look at that male-oriented sort of energy, and sitting in Cancer, which is a very much of a maternal, you know, it's the home of the moon, it's the spot where, you know, we have the most amount of stuff, concern about our children and sort of the home and stuff like that. It's very much of our emotional time. So with Mars in there and Mercury retrograde, with Mars in Cancer, which is sort of that emotional, moody, sort of watery realm of Cancer, I think you take that and you combine that with a Mercury retrograde in Scorpio, and you could easily have, you know, some sort of emotional issues with regard to relationships. Obviously, relationships are going to be a big thing at this time. And so it's hard to say how it'll manifest itself, but it'll do the best it can, and you're going to find yourself, you know, Mars in Cancer is also sort of out of its realm because it's not as comfortable there as it might be in one of the other signs. Mars is very comfortable in signs that have action and signs that have, you know, sort of thrust and move and drive and ambition. That's typically what you find Mars to be. Mars is definitely the case where you have all those things. Some of the other things to think about when it comes to Mars in Cancer are, you know, it's a good spot to be very tenacious. It's a good spot to be intuitive. It's a nurturing sign. It's a supportive, considerate sign. It's sort of a sign that's good with the public. So anybody who has Mars in that sign, and now that Mars is there, you would feel the impact of that as well. Some of the other things that are quite a little bit less pleasant about that is they sometimes they can be very selfish. They sort of withdraw sometimes. So when you have those conflict of ideas of Mars, which is drive and movement and forward motion and sort of ambition, combined with a sign that sort of is withdrawn or moody and defensive, you can see how those two things would combine. So it's very important to understand that. Apparently, my guest is not calling in today for some reason, so we're going to have to wing it here. I encourage you to call at any time at 1-877-230-3062. If you have any questions about Mars in Cancer or Mercury in Scorpio or Mercury retrograde, I encourage you to call. We're going to move on, I guess, with some of the topics if we can, since we have no guests right now. My initial goal today was to talk about Saturn and in Venus. And the two signs, the two planets, rather, are going to be conjunct. What conjunct means is that they're going to be aligned together. I think probably in the next day or so on Saturday, they should be at about 4 degrees Virgo together. So they should be, if you can see them in the sky, it'll be a great opportunity to see them. You can typically see them if the skies are clear with a pair of binoculars, even, if you want, or if you're so lucky to have a, if you're lucky enough to have a telescope, then by all means, you can find it that way as well. So I'm just going to check out real quickly and see what's up with my guest and see if she's logged on or if she has logged on and see where she is. Her name is Paula Gessen. Yes, sir?
We have her.
Okay, good. I didn't realize that she was on. I'm sorry for waxing on here like a madman, but let me get her on. Her name is Paula Gessen. She works out of Boston, and she's a private astrologer and can do readings as well. And also Hello, Paula. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I didn't realize you were there. I am talking away.
I'm here.
I never got the signal that you were on. I apologize.
Okay.
Welcome to Turning of the Wheel.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So I've just been letting people know here, sort of filling up my airspace here, talking about Mercury retrograde and, of course, our topic, which is going to be Saturn and Venus. Now, Saturn and Venus are going to be together, I guess, on Saturday. They're going to be at 4 degrees Virgo. And what do you see, Paula, with the two of them together? What sort of mood should we be setting ourselves up for?
Well, I think one thing to keep in mind is that there's some regularity to this conjunction. The orbit of Saturn around the Sun is approximately 29 years and stays in one side for 2 to 2.5 years. And the orbit of Venus is 10 months, so that it stays in a sign for 1 month. So there's some regularity. Venus will connect with Saturn 2 or 3 times during Saturn's transit in a particular sign. Important to keep that regularity in mind.
Yeah, so I agree, totally present. But still, nonetheless, they're not exactly comfortable together. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think they function on two entirely different levels. Saturn is the restrictor, and Venus is kind of open to all kinds of love and, you know, positive feelings. So mm-hmm. We've got two conflicting emotions with this conjunction. However, in accordance with some of the Hermetic perspective, there's a real sympathy between the two planets. So it really depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the sympathy there in some regard, because it has that sort of there's the ability. You know, Venus is about, you know, sort of love, romance. I also associate it with money and aesthetic tastes, mm-hmm. pleasure and comfort, sort of social interaction. So I think having Saturn be that sort of restrictor, or at least the one that's accountable and sort of the responsibility planet in with regard to love and money, that could actually work out very well. I think that Saturn is pretty happy in Virgo for the most part. Wouldn't you agree?
Saturn actually is peregrine in Virgo, which means it wanders. So it's mm-hmm. looking for something to attach itself to, and this could be your health, your work, your well-being. So if those things are going well in your life and Saturn connects to them, then yes, it can work. But if those things are not being taken care of, then it can be a problem.
Yeah. And I think the things that, so on a mundane level, in other words, when it applies to the entire planet, how would you see the two of them sort of coexisting? And, I mean, they're both they're going to be an immutable sign. How will it impact, what would you see the impact being, you know, sort of on a planetary level?
Well, I'm not a mundane astrologer, Chris, so I don't pay a lot of attention to that. My focus is mainly psychological and more personal.
Right.
However, with Saturn in Virgo, you would probably pay some attention to things related to health and, you know, like health systems or work-related issues, like, for example, the strike in Michigan, health reform, things like that would be more prominent in the news during a Saturn in Virgo time. With
yeah.
Venus moves so quickly, you know, you might get triggered into something or to be looking at it, or maybe as it relates to women, those kinds of issues might become more prominent.
Yeah, I was just going to mention women. I think that that's a key indicator. I think that with sort of the rise of Hillary Clinton in the political spotlight, it's a good area to look at that sort of that feminine energy coming on very strong and being very prominent. I mean, she mm-hmm. certainly is making quite a play for this year, and I think it signals a great change with regard to where we could possibly go as a society. And I think that, you know, there's a very, I think the timing of her being there at this time with these planets conjunct, I think it's kind of critical and indicative of sort of the strength that she can carry if it's so offered that way.
Right. And because Virgo focuses in those directions, I think that her position on health reform is more prominent than anything else. The other thing to keep in mind is because Venus will join up with Saturn three times over the course of the conjunction, the issues that you just raised would be important at these times. So, for example, October 14th, when it's at 4 degrees of Virgo, August of 2008, when it's at 9 degrees of Virgo, and October of 2009 at 28 degrees of Virgo, those would be benchmarks to watch in the course of these ideas.
Mm-hmm. And it's critical over the course of this coming year when we have such a lot of interest in the whole political race and where things are going. I can see them as being very relevant. I think we're definitely entering into a feminine age, a time where the feminine is going to be much more predominant. And it's no small accident that Hillary is there, I think, at this time. You know, barring any political commentary, I just think the fact that she's such a significant player on the national landscape at this point in time is very much indicative of sort of the trend in which we're going.
Well, Virgo is a feminine sign.
Right.
Right.
And so for her to be there, and I think that this time it's a wonderful opportunity for that to help and to sort of be propelled along by the transits at the time. Mm-hmm. Now, with regard to Saturn in particular, let's spend a little time talking about Saturn. Now, a lot of people sort of have great trepidation around Saturn because of the fact that it is sort of what makes us accountable. And I think that, you know, there's nothing wrong with accountability. It sort of keeps us on track. It makes us, you know, pay our taxes on time. It gets us to the train on time. What is it that that you see in a personal chart, and that what would people learn most from understanding the depth of Saturn in your mind?
Sure. Well, you have to look at Saturn in terms of its position in the zodiac as it travels the zodiac, its position in the solar system. I mean, so in Chaldean astrology, Saturn was the limitation. It was the last planet. So Saturn serves that function for us even today in that it sets the boundaries. It's the planet that puts the form around things. So in a personal chart, you look at the mythology, the archetype of Saturn, which is the father of time. So it relates to form, time, structure, restrictions, responsibility, like you mentioned. It's the planet that shows us where our responsibilities are. So a lot depends on whether Saturn is ruling your chart or how Saturn is aligned with other planets to consider how Saturn is going to operate in your life. But this is how you look at the role of Saturn in a person's life.
Now, for those people who don't know where Saturn is in their chart, I encourage you to try to get a professional reading by someone such as Paula or myself. Paula, do you have a way that they can get a hold of you?
Yes, I have a website. You could check that out at www.invisibledynamics.com. There's a lot of information there about the outer planets. Also, there is information there about the new moon, and there's a newsletter. That's a yearly newsletter, actually, that talks about the retrograde Mercury cycle. So it's www.invisibledynamics.com.
Okay. And that same website is also located on the Contact Talk Radio calendar for my show, Turning of the Wheel. If you have any questions for Paula or myself, you can call at 877-230-3062 and ask questions about the placement of Saturn in your chart and how it might manifest itself. Also, any questions about the current state of where the current transits are. Now, Paula, do you work quite a bit with transits when you're doing your readings, or do you tend to work with other?
Yes, my favorite thing is progressions, of course, mm-hmm. but you know, you work with progressions and transits. There are many layers that you're working with when you look at a person's horoscope and where they are at a point in time. And I just wanted to say that I think you're doing a great service informing people and educating them beyond the sun sign columns that are in the papers and magazines, because astrology is so much more complex. So you have your natal horoscope, and then you have your progressions, and then you have your transit. So there are a lot of things happening at one time.
Yeah, that's, you know, something I've always been struck by, and that's one of my goals with the show, is to really to sort of make people aware of how complicated and how relevant and how rich, I guess, and how robust the information really can be when you get a full professional reading done. Mm-hmm. You know, so many of us look to the magazines. I mean, you see the columns in Cosmopolitan or in some of the monthly magazines. You'll see the columns that have to deal with astrology. On the daily papers, you'll see them. You'll get daily feeds and stuff like that about astrology. All those are based on sun signs, and sun signs are incredibly limiting. It's just one planet out of many, and it's the sort of the information that you get from there is way too vague and nowhere near rich enough to get what you really need. The only way to really get a full-fledged, accurate, and I'm talking about these are incredibly accurate charts, these are what I would call an owner's manual for your whole life's purpose, is to get a professional astrology reading. It's well worth the effort to do that. Even if you just get a natal reading one time, you can carry that with you for the rest of your life. You don't have to get a transit reading. Just a natal reading alone, it's sort of like, you know,
it's your baseline.
It's your baseline. It's your whole blueprint for your soul's purpose. And I really think of it as an owner's manual, you know, especially relevant if you're married and you want to understand your partner. It's good to get their charts. You can understand sort of their strengths and weaknesses, and you can play off against them very clearly. Now, what we do to get a professional astrology reading is we base everything on the birth date, which is the actual day you were born, the place you were born, and the actual time. Now, the time is typically found on the birth certificate, and if you don't know that, ask your mother or someone who was there. And the closer you can get to that sign, the more granular and the more accurate your reading will be. The reason that the birth time is important is because it dictates the ascendant. The ascendant is the rising sign, and from that sign, all the other houses are lined up, and it's sort of the houses indicate where the action takes place in your chart. So it's critical to know that, and I think that if you ever speak with anybody who's had a professional a chart done, the difference between what you find in a newspaper versus what you get in a professional chart really are night and day. And it certainly makes a believer out of me. I know that my own personal experience was that I was, I don't know, thousands of years ago when I had my first astrology chart done. I based it on that, and I got information back that just totally astounded me because it was so incredibly accurate. So if you're curious at all in self-growth, learning your strengths, how to play against your weaknesses and build yourself into a better person, I heartily encourage you to look into astrology. Paula does give a professional astrology readings on a regular basis. You can get to her from my website, or you can get to her from the Contact Talk Radio website, which has the calendar at the bottom of her little blurb that I talk about. There's a link that goes back to her website, and you can contact her there. You can also get a hold of me at my website at www.chrisflisher.com. While I'm still waxing away here talking away on my new headset, which I got this week, which I hope sounds better to everybody out there, I'm kind of excited about it. I want to remind everybody that what we're doing is we're talking to Paula Gassman. She is an astrologer who works with natal charts and is very adept in that. She's also a member of the NGCR, which is the National Geocosmic Research Organization, which is probably one of the most predominant, if not the most predominant, astrological societies in the world. I mean, the alumni who are there are just the most brilliant astrologers on the face of the planet, without question. If you have questions for me or for Paula, please call 1-877-230-3062. So, Paula, I wanted to get back
to the issue of Venus in Virgo and sort of talk a little bit about the nature of the sign involved, Virgo, what that's like. So Virgo is a feminine sign, as I mentioned earlier, and it's mutable earth. Those are the qualities of it. So as a feminine sign, it's reactive as opposed to aggressive. And as a mutable sign, Virgo is restless and doesn't necessarily have a focus. So these are important qualities to think about when we're thinking about both Saturn and Venus in those signs. Venus in Virgo is considered its quote-unquote fall. That's according to Ptolemy's table of essential dignities. And this gives a dimension to how the planet operates. Venus basically loses its strength in Virgo. It can be very critical, perfectionistic, and tied up with sort of a weighing process that can be very draining, and particularly because it leads to worry, and it gives Venus wrinkles. Venus doesn't like to have wrinkles. So, you know, you need to understand that it's not a particularly comfortable place for Venus. Therefore, it's actually very good that it moves quickly through the sign. And Saturn in Virgo, as I said, is looking to attach. It's wandering around looking for a weakness. So if you have a weakness in your health, a weakness in your work life, this is what Saturn will focus on in this sign.
Yeah. And, you know, you can see that the placement of Venus in Virgo would be, you know, where Venus is sort of, I think of it as, you know, very lofty, very comfortable, you know, sort of a very aesthetically pleasing placement. And for it to be in Virgo, and Virgo does have that sort of tendency to be critical and some of those issues, it sort of doesn't sit quite as well there. And I think that's very accurate.
The thing with Venus and Saturn lining up in Virgo is that they need work to do. Because the whole concept of action absorbs anxiety. Here you've got Venus worrying and, you know, really anxious about a lot of things. It needs a focus. It needs something to do. So breaking down a big problem, for example, or setting up a complicated analysis, this would be something good for Venus at this time.
Yeah. So If Venus is lofty and sort of, for lack of a better word, like, you know, sort of pie in the sky kind of, you know, feeling to it, the Saturn response and the Saturn color color that comes to it sort of brings it down to earth and makes it a little bit more accountable. I would think you'd see this to be most relevant with relationships, wouldn't you? And
Yes, Venus is the social planet, and Saturn is the taskmaster. So you combine these things. Saturn wants to be, firm and limiting, and Venus wants to be light and gay. So if you're combining these energies, one area would be that the what you want out of a relationship might be limited at this time, or you might be critical of the relationship. Venus wants to be sort of frivolous and superficial and, you know, kind of just have a good time. And Saturn is saying, no, let's get a little practical here. How much is it going to cost? How is it going to be built? What's the longevity? However, if you're meeting somebody for the first time under a Venus-Saturn conjunction, it could be very good for the longevity of the relationship.
Because it does show the it shows a certain sense of responsibility, maybe
right,
a little commitment.
Right, and Saturn is time. Saturn is length of time.
Yeah, it's like commitment. I think as well,
there might be good.
Yeah, a much deeper sense of it wouldn't be a fly by night thing, so to speak. It might be something that has a little more stability to it because of the color that Saturn brings to it. Sort of that shade of responsibility and accountability. You would be less likely to sort of just be nonchalant about the relationship.
Right. Saturn puts Venus to the test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Saturn puts a lot of things to test, it seems
yes.
like. You know? And
yes.
that's, in many times, that is, I'm not afraid of Saturn at all. I find it has been one of my stronger planets in my chart. I've got it in my first house, and it's always kept me very responsible, and I've sort of taken it as, you know, my row to hoe, and been happy with it there. So I have, you know, not everybody has that luck.
Is it the ruler of your chart?
No, it's the, I have Saturn in Libra, actually, in the first.
Oh, so it's exalted. Okay,
it's exalted.
So it's actually a very good place, and to have it in the first house would make it very strong, yeah.
Yeah, and ironically, I've got Venus in Pisces in the sixth, so.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also, I'm also happy with that placement. I mean, I can't do much about it, can I?
No, but, you know, consider the aspect between them. It would be a quincunx aspect, which means that there's some challenges there.
Oh, absolutely,
it's,
yeah.
It's not a trine. It's not an easy conjunction. It's a challenge.
Now, you know, one of the things I want to talk about real quickly with some of the folks out there who may not understand completely what astrology is that when we talk about aspects, we talk about the interrelationship between the planets within the 360-degree wheel called the zodiac. And the way those planets react to each other and the degrees in which they are aligned with each other can dictate sort of that relationship as either one of strength or one of challenge. It doesn't mean that it's good or bad. I don't want to assign a weight to it in that regard, but I do think it's important for people to understand where their strengths and weaknesses are. Now, one might think that, you know, it'd be great to have an easy chart with full of trines and stuff like that, but that just does not exist. And the reason it doesn't exist is because we are all here to have challenges and we are all here to have growth. You'll find some of the most interesting people in the history of the world were people that had very complicated charts that were often tried with a lot of struggles and strife and tension and what we call squares or oppositions, because that forced them to sort of surmount their challenges and go beyond. And it's critical to be able to understand those distinctions. Again, that's the sort of information you can only find out with a professional astrology chart. That's something that Paula or myself could easily do for you, and you'd find yourself in a much better spot of understanding that if you truly are interested in learning more about astrology. You can always call with your questions right now. Paula and I will both take questions at 877-230-3062. Paula, do you have anything to say about that? Yeah.
Yeah, there is another thing I wanted to say about the underlying implication of Saturn and Venus being in Virgo. Because Virgo is ruled by Mercury, and this is where it gets a little more complex than just the surface understanding, because Venus and Saturn are in Virgo, we have to look to Mercury. And so at the three conjunctions over the course of this Saturn in Virgo period, it's important to look at where Mercury will be, because the function of this conjunction is going to find its way through Mercury and Mercury's sign. So, for example, in October, which, you know, on Sunday, the 14th of October, when Venus and Saturn are conjunct, Mercury will be retrograde, and it's going to be retrograde in Scorpio with Mars in Cancer. So it will be important to be looking deeply into areas of sensitivity and emotions and what makes you feel safe in relationships. So for this particular first conjunction, the relational issues are very important. In August of 08, Mercury will be in Virgo, and so the focus will be, you'll have three qualities in Virgo. So it's all about the details. And then in October 09, the third contact, Mercury will be in Libra, and this will be a nice mutual reception with Venus, and this will be a time to bring your ideas forward and get some feedback from other people about whatever the issue is that's going on with your Saturn Venus junction.
We often see that that sort of triple action with planets as they transit back and forth and they go retrograde, and that it's sort of like, you know, the first pass, I always like to say to my clients, the first pass is sort of you get a dose of it, and it's the second and third times that really sort of seal the deal. Now, I had talked earlier a little bit about Mars and Cancer. Mars and Cancer is an interesting placement only because I think that, you know, Mars is definitely a male-driven energy. And Cancer, I think, is very much of the maternal thing, ruled by the moon, and I see that as it is a unusual placement. I think it can be one of emotional outburst. Don't you see that it's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps
again, it's on Ptolemaic's table. Mars and Cancer is in its quote unquote fall, which means it's weak. So
right.
Where Mars is usually, you know, the warrior who's just out there, aggressive and, you know, doing his thing, with Cancer coloring the picture, it's sort of bringing it back into a more emotional place.
Mm-hmm.
Not totally comfortable for Mars.
Right. It's sort of like, Mars is like Samson getting his hair cut when he's in Cancer.
Exactly.
For lack of a better term, he doesn't have quite the power that he once had or does have when he's in sort of a male-dominated sign like Aries or something like that. He doesn't quite have the same amount of impact there. That's not
right.
To say that his impact isn't felt.
Right, but it's more on emotional level, which is what you mentioned, so that there could be emotional outbursts.
Absolutely,
particularly in the home front.
Yeah, or driven perhaps to express more of a maternal side. I also see that,
mm-hmm.
too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, a lot of men suppress the feminine side of their characteristics, of their personalities. This might be a time to sort of review that and let that side in. There's nothing to be ashamed of there. We are all a composite of both elements. We're all female, we are all male, and we have more characteristics than others, but it's important to be able to embrace that. And I know it sounds like a cliche to say, you know, find your feminine side, find the feminine person inside you, or find your inner man, you know, Paula. But I think those are important things to recognize, because we do have those characteristics in our charts.
And it's really important to honor both sides, because we are both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that these opportunities to really work with them show up when the planets move. The planets are always moving. And so, whenever you wish you had something else going on in your chart, just wait a little while, because it will come around.
Yeah.
I think the important thing for what this placement of Venus and Saturn in Virgo means to the individual is really important to consider. Because the nature of Virgo is to work, these times are good for working on something specific in your life. And this relates to the more psychological approach to astrology, which I take, the sort of process-oriented approach, which is that you've got something to do in your chart. And the more aware you are of what's going on, the more choice you make in actualizing things, the better off you are. That's why astrology is so helpful, because you can figure out what's going on, what energy, what resources do you have to work with. So in Virgo, you can get a focus, and you could, do something very specific, concentrate on your health issues, you know, start a new diet plan, start a new work plan, something constructive that you want to be doing. And then wherever Virgo is, that's the house that these planets are going to be traveling. So you want to pay attention to that.
Right.
Well,
and I think that it is it's a good opportunity to revisit. You know, I love the idea of that. You know, we can never sort of. I think that the more you sort of test the boundaries of your own abilities and limitations, that's how you evolve. And the more you can evolve, and the more you can grow. This is what happens at these times of tension, if they are signs of times of tension. See it as an opportunity to expand and grow, and not worry about. Sort of the repercussions that are going to come. Anything that you can do that you haven't done before, it implies growth. And it's critical that people sort of expand in that way. And one of the key ways to figure that out is through astrology, because it will show you areas of your life that you can definitely use improvement. And there's not one of us out there that doesn't need improvement. Now, I just want to make one point clear. I am not, my signal on my wireless is a little bit low, so if Gary's out there listening, and if we are getting any phone calls, I'm not getting any notice of that. But I want to let people know that if they are trying to call in, please do at 877-230-3062. I've got Gary in the studio helping out there, and if he has any calls on the line there.
Chris, I am here. We do have calls.
Oh, good. Then let them come through. I'm sorry. I cannot see them.
All right. We have Bonnie in... We have Selena in California.
Okay. We've got Selena in California. Go ahead, Selena, with your call.
Yeah, I have a question for you. I think it's great to get this information, and I've had my chart done. But I'm wondering, how can a person like myself, who has very little knowledge of astrology, how on a daily basis would you suggest I access astrology so I can understand how to use it more as a guide? I think that's kind of why people go to those very incomplete astrology forecasts in the newspaper, because they're looking for ways to, you know, possibly get guidance on a daily basis. So how would somebody, a novice like myself, access astrology to help them out more on a daily basis?
Do you have any ideas? And I've got some ideas, Paula, but do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, I do have some great ideas on this. First of all, you raise a really good point, because the question is, how involved do you want to get in it? You know, do you want to study it yourself? Do you want to become an astrologer? Or do you just want some basic information? If you want to study it yourself, there's plenty of resources, and either Chris or I could refer you to plenty of things. But if you just want to sort of occasionally check in, get a reading, and then work your plan, so to speak, astrology works because you don't have to know all the details. You go to an astrologer, you set up some kind of plan of action for yourself for, say, a year. This is what you want to do, this is what you're focusing on, these are the issues you're working on, and then you work your plan. You don't have to know on a daily basis what's going on. It can be too much.
Right.
So it's more of an ongoing basis with an astrologer, kind of like a consulting basis?
Yeah.
And you know what you can do is you can get sort of a yearly layout of where things are going. What we would do is probably draw up a yearly plan saying, you know, this is a good time to focus on this, this is a good time to focus on that, and, you know, sort of be more tailored to your specific needs based on your chart and your transits. So you'd get a forecast, sort of like, you know, what people might get at work, you know, sort of a performance plan for the year to come, you know. That's one path. There is one site that I do want to mention that I think is really relevant, and that's astro.com. That's it's AstroDienst is the name of the official site. They are located in Switzerland, and they have a remarkably very, very well-run machine over there where you log on, you enter your birth date, your birth time, and your birthplace information. They keep that online, and you can go back there every day just clicking on it, and you'll get the transits for your sign for that day. And it's incredibly accurate because it'll tell you where the moon is and it'll tell you where the major transits are. And that's the sort of thing that you can use on a daily basis, other than actually going out and becoming well-versed in astrology or taking the approach that Paula mentions. Both approaches are good. I think Paula's approach is very valuable because you can consult somebody much the way you might consult a therapist. You know, you can say you check in with them once a month and say, how do things look? And what days are good for me to watch out for. And if it's tailored to your specific sign and your specific transits, it can be incredibly helpful and very accurate, especially when it comes to...
I think one difference there is, in contrast to therapists, you wouldn't be checking in every month. You would be checking in maybe once a year, even 6 months maybe. But if you're really working your chart and you're, you know, actively trying to work your process, you need to do the work. And so you need that time. Mm-hmm. And so coming every month would not really be that helpful, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I really appreciate both of you in terms of your advice, and I will take you up on that.
Good.
That's great.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling. Thanks very much for calling.
And Chris,
do you have any other callers? I don't know them.
Yep, we do. We do.
Okay.
We have Joan in North Carolina.
Okay, Joan, go ahead with your questions. Thank you for calling Turning of the Wheel.
Hi, Joan.
Hi there. I came on a little bit late to the show, so I hope I've been listening, but I'm on the phone and hearing. Okay, let me start over. I'm just calling with it. See if I could get some sort of a general reading. I've been through a real interesting time in my life just lately, and calling to see if you have any comments based on my birth date and time.
Okay. We can try. We tend to do most of that stuff offline, simply because you know, we can give you sort of a quick read in some regard, but most of the information that you're going to find is probably through a real professional reading, simply because you're going to get much more depth and granularity there. But we can certainly give a shot. What are your coordinates?
I'm born November 20th, 1958, 11:57 p.m.
November 20th, 1958.
And what time?
11:57 p.m.
Okay. And where?
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Knoxville, Tennessee. I've been there.
Uh-huh.
It's a nice place this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are you looking, Joan, for information specific to Venus, Saturn?
Say that again, please. I'm having a little trouble hearing.
Are you looking for information specific to the Venus Saturn that we were discussing, or
that would be fine.
What exactly were you looking for?
That would be fine.
Okay, give us a second here when we will work up a chart for you, and we'll let you know what we can find out. You know, the one of the things that the what the newest
Well, that's right. I can understand why you're having a hard time. You've got Pluto at 4 degrees of Virgo, and Saturn Venus is right there. Yeah. So that's just very cursory, but exactly what we were talking about, the Saturn-Virgo-type issues, are really calling forth your ability or desire to make some transformations in your life.
Right.
So are you having a health issue right now?
I'm sorry?
Are you having a health issue right now?
No, not a health issue, just... it's a little bit too much going to go into now, and I probably might be asking you too much.
Well, you know, it's okay. I think that, you know, these are the sort of things that you learn. You know, Pluto is a planet of transformation, so you're going to be going through some sort of transformation and tested in some manner in that regard. That's the sort of thing you're
going
to be finding, you know, either with relationships, with money, love, money, responsibility, accountability. You're all going to be very key issues right now. You may be financially strapped, and at the same time, it looks like you've got transiting Pluto conjunct your natal Saturn at the same time.
Right.
So you're getting a double whammy of Saturn and Pluto energy.
Well, something big has been going on, and
So, are you going through some sort of major transformation right now with regard to your life, either your health or your where you are? You're at a real juncture in your life, it looks like, one of great transformation.
It feels just like that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sort of some of the more bedrock things in your life are going through a change, significant change, and you're being held to task. I would say, Paul, you can look at this yourself and what you think. I think that you're going through some. It looks to me as if you've got Pluto is on your just about in your fourth house, where you've got Saturn at 24 degrees in Sagittarius. So this particular transit is going to be kind of tough on her, don't you think? I mean,
I do. And also, Saturn was in Leo, before it went into Virgo, so it's been coming over your ascendant sort of putting some pressure on your, so to speak, life force. So you might have felt like you just don't have as much energy as you usually have, or as enough strength to go on.
I improve a little bit now.
What's that?
Yeah.
I feel a loss of energy for a while. It's starting to improve just now for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. So with this emphasis on the Pluto and the desire to have some transformation in your life, although it may not be easy, what you're going through, when you come out of it, you'll be feeling a lot stronger.
Okay,
right.
That sounds good.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and you know,
right.
what we find, Joan, is that we find that it's the applying time that is the most relevant, I think. And I don't know, Paula can offer an opinion on this. It's not so much when the planets are exact as it is when it's the applying time leading up to that time. So, as Paula mentioned, you know, you've sort of been going through a period of time leading up to when these planets are conjunct that you sort of have felt that. And now, you know, it doesn't always have to be as ominous as that sounds. Now, the word transformation sounds like, you know, you're going to wake up tomorrow and, you know, and have some sort of epiphany. It doesn't necessarily mean that, but what it does mean is that at some point, at some place in your life, there is significant change and transformation that you're undergoing, and it has to do with some sort of responsibility or accountability. So either you're being stressed out financially, you're being stressed out in some sort of work mode, you've got it in your first house. It could be sort of you're undergoing a reevaluation of your own personal values, and your religious beliefs could very well be the case. All these things are sort of coming under scrutiny. You could be having some issues with your children if you've got children, or in that fourth house. You're right at the very end of the fourth house there. So,
and Joan, what I would recommend as a strategy for dealing with this is to try to find some creative outlet, something that gives you pleasure. You know, if you draw or paint or write or something, gardening, something that would just sort of put you in a different frame of mind.
Yeah,
to take you out of the stress of the Virgo quality.
Right. Those sorts of things do seem to be a good antidote. It's just been it's too much to go into, but it's been a really significant time in my life of transformation.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the good news is, I'll tell you the good news about this, is that your chart definitely validates that. And so what that also means by the same token is that this too will pass. You're just at that spot in your life where that stuff is happening. I think Paula's suggestion about doing things that are involved, do earth-based things. You know, pottery would be a very earth-based thing. It'd be a great way to sort of put that energy into sort of an earth-based thing. You want very tactile sort of work. I think journaling is a great outlet right now. Even if you don't enjoy, go out and buy yourself a nice Italian leather journal with a nice fountain pen and sit down every morning and write 2 pages of nonstop, whatever comes to your mind, very organic, spontaneous writing, just as a way of getting it out of your system. You'll find it to be very therapeutic.
Thank you.
And
I also think that with the
Mercury going retrograde for the next few weeks, this would be a really excellent time for you to sort of go into a deep, quiet, meditative place.
Okay. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
Good luck,
Gary.
All right.
Anybody else online there, Gary?
No.
Okay. So anyway, I just want to let you know that you're listening to Turning of the Wheel. This is a weekly radio show on Contact Talk Radio about astrology, art, and spiritual adventure, I like to say. It means that we're open to all possibilities. You can call in each week at this time at 877-230-3062. My guest today is Paula Gassman. She has her own website. Paula, what is that again?
It's www.invisibledynamic.com.
InvisibleDynamics.com. Sounds like a wonderful name for a website. I wish I'd gotten that one. And I just got my boring old name out there, www.chrisflisher.com. And both of us do readings, and so you can contact us for a more elaborate reading. I can't emphasize enough the amount of detail that a professional reading will give you. It's not sun sign astrology. One of the biggest misconceptions about popular astrology, and the reason I think it gets a bad rap, is because people default to the newspapers, and the newspapers do no justice with regard to your astrology charts. Like saying everybody in the world who's a Virgo should go out and buy a lottery ticket today. It just isn't accurate. We are really a composite of all the various planets and all the signs, depending upon where they fall in your chart. So it's important to have that.
I wanted to point something else out with regard to the Saturn, Venus, and Virgo.
Okay, we got about a minute, so...
Oh, okay. I just wanted to point out that Astro Data Bank is a collection of 31,000 entries of people's data. And in that listing, there are 54 listings with a very accurate birth time with Saturn in Virgo, and Venus in Virgo. And it's really interesting to read up about the lives of these people to get some better understanding of how Saturn, Venus in Virgo operate.
Yep. That's a very good point. Thank you, Paula, for that. And thank you for coming on today. I really appreciate it. I apologize for not seeing you. I have a Mercury retrograde thing happening with my computer here, and I wasn't able to get a wireless connection, so that's why I couldn't see anybody talking to me on the other end. So I apologize for that.
Well, but that's fine, and I think you had a wonderful conversation. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, we'll have you back on again. Absolutely. Okay. I'd love to have you back on again. This is my purpose here, is to sort of enlighten people into the validity and the depth of what real astrology can do.
Oh, it's you're doing a great job with it.
Well,
thanks.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. And spread the word to other astrologers out there who would like to come on and have a shot at this as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Once again, Turning of the Wheel, my name is Chris Fleischer. You're listening to Contact Talk Radio. Tune in next Thursday. We've got a wonderful show with Sharon Mullen. We'll be talking about more transits and what the world is in for in the coming years. We've got quite a bit of stuff happening on a planetary level. So please stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to Turning of the Wheel with your host, Chris Fleischer. To schedule a reading with me or to order artwork, you may visit my website at www.chrisfleischer.com. That's www.chrisfleischer.com. Or email me, and you can call me at 508-517-0969. Thank you. And as always, be open to possibilities.